Hello and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. This episode is going to be about scripting. I'll talk about some of my own scripts that I've written. Scripting is important, and I think sometimes it's undervalued. We know that Python can be used as a top-flight professional programming language for the biggest programs around, but sometimes I like to just talk about the value of small scripts, because after all, I'm a hobbyist, and most of what I write are small scripts. And Python is extraordinarily productive for that, and a lot of fun. Before I do that, though, I want to talk about just some miscellaneous things that have been on my mind or that I've noticed happening in the community. First, I want to mention Turbo Gears again. In the last podcast, I spoke about Turbo Gears, the new mega framework for server-side web scripting, and you know, a couple of you emailed me back and told me some of the success stories you've had, and I really haven't had time to work with it more myself since the last podcast, but certainly the ease of installation caught my eye, and it looks like other people are finding that if you really want to get up and running fast with a web framework, this is an awfully good one to try. So again, I look forward to working some more with that in the future, and I do recommend it to you. I'm also looking at Komodo, which is an IDE. It's a commercial IDE. There's two commercial IDEs I'm evaluating to see which one I prefer. One is Komodo, and the other is the Wing IDE. I read online somewhere a very nice review that someone did of a whole bunch of IDEs for Python, and those two came out as the top ones in his list, Komodo at ActiveState and also the Wing IDE. Neither one is free. You can download free evaluation copies, but for a non-commercial license, I believe they're around $35 a piece, and for a professional license, where if you're going to sell software, you write with it, they're quite a bit more expensive than that. But for my purposes, the non-commercial license would be good, and Komodo has finally come out with a Mac version, which I'm very interested in, so I'll let you know how that goes later on down the pike. Okay, a couple of other announcements or things I've noticed having to do with books. You know, I've read a lot of books about Python, and I'm just about booked out for the time being, but I couldn't help but notice on the Python news group that there were two new books being talked about that were getting some pretty good reviews, both of them for beginners. And I want to talk, so I was at the bookstore this week, and I happened to find copies of those two plus one other one, and I thumbed through them and give you my first impressions now. First one is Beginning Python from Novice to Professional by Magnus Lehtland, and it's by A-Press. Now, this one got very good reviews. Even Alex Martelli, the notable Pythonista, mentioned that he thought it was a very good book because he knew that the previous book by Magnus was a great book called Practical Python. Now, I have Practical Python, and it is a good book, so I was skeptical because this one was based on it. But when I actually looked through it at the bookstore, of the three, this is my favorite, the three new ones that I saw. Beginning Python, it does incorporate Practical Python, but only as the second half of the book. Practical Python, which I have read and which I own, is a book that has about a dozen projects, beginner-type projects, but with some degree of complexity that he walks you through very carefully, and he has a good way of doing that. But the first half of Beginning Python, from Novice to Professional, is an overview of the entire core language of Python. And I'm not going to buy and read it because I've read so many introductory Python books and a few advanced ones. And I think that, though this one impressed me enough, that if I were beginning Python today, I think you could do a lot worse than start with this book by Magnus Lehtland, by A-Press. Beginning Python, from Novice to Professional. The other two were also quite good. Rox has a book out by Peter Norton called Beginning Python, Programmer to Programmer, and it looked quite nice also. And then thirdly, not quite as new, is Python Programming for Absolute Beginners by Michael Dawson, Premier Press. And I've never really preferred the absolute beginner type of book, although Alan Gauls was very good, and he has a website now on the web where you can look up Alan Gauld, that's G-A-U-L-D, where he has a beginning programmer's tutorial, an online book, which is for people who've never programmed in any language. And that's what this beginning Python book from Rocks is. And so if you've never programmed in any language, it might be a decent starting point. But especially I like Beginning Python by Magnus Lahightland. If nothing else, it's just darn good to see a whole bunch of new books keep coming out for Python. And the bookstores are giving us a lot of shelf space there. Okay, another thing that is coming up is someone sent me an email and pointed out to me that Doug Kay, who is the moderator and host of IT Conversations, Doug Kay had mentioned in one of his podcasts that he was looking for Python programmers to join an open source Python programming project, and that I might want to look into this because what they were doing was they were wanting to create programming in Python for podcasting and to support podcasting. So I went on over and looked at it, and sure enough, it's quite an interesting project. I'd recommend if you're looking for an open source project to contribute to, this would be a great one. I'll put a link to it in my show notes in the discussion forum and on my blog. But IT Conversations is an extremely good podcast series. I've listened to it since early this year when I first started listening to podcasting. And I must say that it's very high-level podcasting about technical subjects, about computer-related subjects, and Doug Kay is the moderator of it. So he's looking to create a fairly extensive project to gather podcasts from the community and make it easy to create them and to process the audio and then upload it automatically to a community podcasting site. So that's you'll read a much better description of it if you go on over to Blogarithms. And as I say, I'll put that link in my show notes. But if any of you have the time to contribute to an open source project, then this would be a good one to check out. And there's a mailing list that I got entered on. I emailed Doug Kay and said, please put me on the mailing list, discussion forum for this project, and he did. I don't know if I'm going to have time to contribute anything, but it's something worth looking into. Enough said. Finally, I am looking into setting up to do some interviews, and I've talked to a couple of people in the Python community who are involved in interesting projects and have worthwhile things to say, and I'm going to set up and do some interviews as part of this Python 411 podcast series, and I think you'll find it quite interesting to hear what various people in the community have to say. Okay, so now let's talk about scripting. You know, the term scripting language has gotten a bad reputation because it was originally created to describe interpreted languages, one of the original interpreted languages was BASIC, and then along came Perl, which was interpreted, and then Python and others, and dynamic languages. But they were used for scripting. Perl was used for scripting on the Unix command line shell and on the Windows DOS prompt. But when languages like Python began to be used for major, major programs and be full-powered programming languages, a lot of people don't like to talk about scripting because that implies lightweight. But there's something to be said on a day-to-day basis for lightweight programming languages that can be used as scripting. And the Python command shell, where you just type in your commands, you know, and interactively create your scripts, allows you to create scripts very quickly and very easily, that it wouldn't be worth firing up a big IDE and a language that is compiled where you have to go through all kinds of rigmarole before you find out if your program works properly. So Python scripting is good. And for a hobbyist like me who has a day job that doesn't involve computers programming, I find that, you know, I can only spend a little time on the weekends or in the evenings, so I don't have the time to create huge major projects from scratch. So I find I do a lot of scripting and also modifying other people's scripts. There's so many good scripts out there on the web written in Python that you can find and you can modify them to your heart's content. And I've had a lot of fun doing that. So I'm going to just talk briefly about that today so that you, not that my scripts are anything special, but to give you an idea of what you can do if you're a beginner, a newbie of any kind. What can you do once you've gone through the basics and learned the basic syntax and know the language, you can read it, what can you create? It's fun to create things. So I did a little more scripting this week, and I also put up a new link on my website right on the front page. If you go to www.awaretech.com, right under the Python 411 podcast link and the AwareTech podcast link, I put something called Ask Merlin's Decision Vision page. Well, I have four scripts there that I've put online that are primarily CGI scripts so that you can work them right online. And I'll talk briefly about each of them now. The first one is one that I've worked on for a long time, fine-tuning it. It's called Ask Merlin. It's an online web bot. And what it does is it scrapes the web. Originally, I wrote web scraping software to get the data to try to answer questions based on information that's available on the web. And then more recently, once Google came out with their Google API, I used the PyGoogle module to do this. And what I do is if you type in online, you type in a question that you're trying to find the answer to, and then you type in options in a different text window that are comma separated, very simple, comma delineated. So the software, the script then, calls the CGI program, Python program that I wrote, which goes to PyGoogle and enters the question in to Google search engine, and then it enters the question along with each option into the Google search engine and measures the response in terms of the popularity of the answers. And then it takes those results and does a little bit of statistics with them in order to determine what the ratio of each option, the number of hits for each option combined with the question. If that sounds confusing, go take a look at the script online. You can try it out online. It's very simple. And it doesn't answer every question perfectly, but it's quite interesting, I think, because it's a very, very simple form of artificial intelligence, if you will. And I learned a lot by writing the script, certainly. And I had a lot of fun. And that's what it's all about. I think there's some wisdom there. If you type in the question, is there a God? Once I finally wrote this thing, that was the first question I typed in, is there a God? And I offered it two options, yes or no. And I clicked the submit button, and Ask Merlin went away and thought for a long time and came back finally with the answer, yes. So based on all the discussions on the web that it could find in Google search engine, it came up with more likelihood of a yes answer than a no answer. Then I typed in the same question, is there a God? And I typed in three possible answers. One is yes, one is no, and the third is maybe. And it thought for a long time, and it came back with the answer, maybe, which I see as a quite wise answer, because if only having the choice of yes or no, the collected wisdom of the web said, yes, there is a God. But if offered the choice, maybe, after thinking it over, Merlin's choice was maybe, indicating that it's not a simple question to answer. It's a complex question. Okay, that's just a fun little thing. It usually does get the right answer on factual questions. For instance, if you ask who has the most hits in a career in baseball, and you give it the answer, of course, Pete Rose. I'm a Reds fan because I grew up in Cincinnati. If you give it Pete Rose and then give it several other baseball players, it will usually pick Pete Rose because he will be associated in the web hits with the most hits record. Of course, that's not very interesting because you have to already know the answer, or at least what the possible answer is, before you ask Merlin the question. I still think it's an interesting little exercise, and I posted the source code. It's a bit of spaghetti code, but if you look at the source code, you can see the kind of things that anyone can create once you know the language. I mean, it doesn't get much easier to create something than that, and it's kind of fun. The other couple things I put up this week, I took I did a CGI version of the I Ching, or the I Ching, which is, I mentioned last week that there was a Python program written using Tkinter GUI called PyCHING, which I found quite fascinating. And I decided, well, I can't, that's been done, but what I could do is make an online version so that you could consult the I Ching online. And that's what I did. I found a place that listed the I Ching philosophical sayings that you cast, and I made a CGI version to select them when you ask a question of the I Ching online. And it's so neat because I've done the exact same thing with JavaScript, of course, as most people have who do a little scripting. And, you know, you use the random, there's a random function in JavaScript that you can use. And same way in Python, you can use a random module to get a random integer between two values. But it's so nice that Python gives the really easy ways to do things. For instance, in this case, I imported random, and then I random.choice of a list, and the list contained all 64 possibilities, variations of the I Ching, both the both an image or a GIF file of the what the I Ching symbol looks like, and also the words, the philosophical words that come with it. So the choice method of the random module is just a very nice way to do something in choosing a random element out of a list. And then the third thing I did, I went on the web and found from the vaults of Parnassus a version of the ELISA therapist program, which is a very old, probably one of the first artificial intelligence examples, very simple-minded one, of a psychologist or a psychiatrist meeting with a patient. So the psychiatrist asks you questions and you answer them. And, you know, this was a command line version that I found on the web. So I turned it very easily into a CGI version and put it up on the website so that you can consult with the psychiatrist right there on my website. Again, these are all very simple scripts, but it's just an example of the kind of fun that you can have. So that's why I point them out. Other examples of scripts that I have that I use commonly, I have scripts in Python to automatically upload my blog posts to my website and to upload new web pages to my website and also to automatically back up my website. So I have an extensive website that's been up for years and, you know, God forbid, I don't want to lose what's there. So I have an automatic script in Python that just automatically goes out once a day and makes a mirror copy of my website and downloads it to my hard drive so that if the actual website, which is hosted by a company I pay a small fee to, if it ever went down and lost all the data, I'd have a backup on my hard drive. And without Python or some equivalent script to do that job, I would have to do it by hand with an FTP program. But I use the FTP module of Python, which will go out and make copies of data from the web and copy them to your hard drive, or conversely, it will take data on your files on your hard drive and copy them to a web server that you have access to using FTP, file transfer protocol. So the FTP module or library for Python is extremely useful. So again, the moral of this podcast is that you don't have to be a big programmer to enjoy Python. You can also enjoy the little scripts that anyone can do after learning the basics of Python. And it's a lot of fun. So that's going to be it for this podcast, but stay tuned to future podcasts of Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. In the meantime, check out the Blogarithm site if you want to participate in an open source project. Don't forget to keep reading the Python News Group. I learn something every day from perusing that. And keep scripting, keep having fun, and keep learning. And if you're interested in books, take a look at some of those new books out there in the bookstores. Okay, thank you for now, and have a great, great week. Thank you.